On this edition of Access Indy, we are celebrating the life of one of our own, an Indianapolis radio legend, a gospel trailblazer, Al the Bishop Hobbs, who passed away on Thursday at age 71. Joining me here in this conversation are also legends in the game, legends in broadcasting. Jay Johnson, legendary radio air talent and programmer, also deep in the roots of WTLC radio, and also joining us is our own air brother, Amos Brown, Hall of Fame broadcaster and host of Afternoons with Amos on our sister station, AM 1310 The Light. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
In talking about Al, who we all dearly, dearly loved, he was not only a colleague, somebody that you worked with in the industry, he was someone who was also friend. So a man you called friend. Tell me about your relationship with Al.
Well, you know, Al was the general manager of WTLC when I was programming there. Mm-hmm. And what can you say? What can you not say about Al? He encompassed life to its fullest. One of his later phrases with me was something that I planned on bringing a T-shirt for him for to present to him this weekend. And that phrase was simply, "We're going to have big, fat, juicy fun." You know, and he was just that kind of guy. He was engrossed in gospel, but he was such an approachable and touchable person. You know, there's never going to be another Al Hobbs.
You know, Al was my graduate school, Kim. Mm-hmm. I learned things about not just life. I learned things about business, about economics, about the sociology of black people that I would not have learned at Northwestern. If I went to Morehouse, I would have learned it from Morehouse. I learned it from the college of Al Hobbs. When I came to WTLC starting in sales, I thought Mother's Day was the second Sunday in May. Mm-hmm. Al Hobbs taught me what Mother's Day really was. He taught me about what cash flow really is and cash flow in people's lives. He taught me about ordinary folks. And the other thing is, Al had a generous spirit. Yes. You know, he was the longest boss I've ever had in my mm-hmm. career. In 40 years, he's my boss from 75 to 93, and that's the longest time I've had one supervisor. And, you know, mm-hmm. there's some bosses that get jealous mm-hmm. of their subordinates' success. Al relished in it because he knew that any success that Jay had or I had or anyone at the radio station would reflect positively on him.
I think that's because it was cooperative.
Yeah.
You know, if we were to turn to Black Expo, which is the highlight of Al and actually the Three Musketeers, if you will, that was all based on each person having an individual appeal to a certain segment of what we were trying to present. Al handled that, Amos handled his section, and I handled mine. And there was no animosity, no distrust in any area. Al was an excellent supervisor.
And then while he was doing the broadcast thing, then here he was in probably his first love, and that was gospel music. And I learned a lot about not only gospel, but about the black church mm-hmm. and the role of the black church and the role of spirituality. I think when I came here, I probably, like a lot of young African-American professionals, was disillusioned with religion. You know, when you're in your you're in your early 20s, you get disillusioned with the church.
Yeah, because your mom made you go way
yeah.
back when, and maybe your parents made you go, and then you're trying to find your own way.
And I think Al reinstilled in me the importance of the church, the role the church has, and more importantly, that church folks are just human beings. Mm-hmm. They're not demigods. They're not gods. They're just ordinary human beings following their faith, following what they believe in their heart and what they believe God has directed them to do. And I think that was a great blessing for me, to give me that different look mm-hmm. at the church in our community that, that I know has helped me over these years.
Mm-hmm. Church folks are people who wake up every day trying to get it right. Trying to get it right. What was maybe the most important lesson that Al taught you over the years regarding just radio? Radio, black radio, radio.
Hmm.
I would say to be yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, again, he allowed each department to almost be autonomous. Mm-hmm. So it was no major, you got to do this, you got to do that. You know, we brought you here because you can bring something to the table. So serve. Mm-hmm. That's what I learned from him.
I agree with that. I also think humility. Mm-hmm. Because again, you know, Al was nurtured in some part by Dr. Frank Lloyd, and Dr. Mm-hmm. Frank Lloyd exuded humility because he was a person of the people. And I think Al felt comfortable whether he was in a boardroom or a pool room. And I think he instilled in me the importance of that, the importance of being approachable to people. You know, he was approachable to people, and I think that instilled in me the importance of, if you're going to be in this particular role in this brand of radio, you had to be approachable. You had to not be standoffish. Somebody comes up to you on the street and kind of looks like, who'd have thought it? You look them in the eye, you smile, and you give them a greeting. And I think that is an important lesson, because that's the kind of man that he was.
But he maintained opulence at all times.
Yes, I can say that as well.
From the DeVille to the Benz. Mm-hmm. But see, he had later years, it was the GMC truck, though. Now the suits,
The suits, the ties. But, you know, Amos, what you were saying about him being open, I mean, I can speak to that in my life and my career as well, because as a young broadcasting student, I worked for competitors here in town, but his doors were always open to me. And I could come into the front door at WTLC and talk to him pretty much about anything that was going on. And if it was something that I had, maybe I had a request of something, he'd tell me straight up what it was he could do, what it was he couldn't do, the what for and the why, and then sent me on my merry way. And there was never anything that was negative or nasty about his demeanor, even as this just young person walking up pipsqueak that didn't know anybody anything.
You know, in this age when we're being told by government, by fancy pants people, that you've got to have an education that is college and career ready, Al just had a high school diploma. I don't think his education made him ready for the careers that he had as an entrepreneur in grocery and in broadcasting. But the wisdom God gave him allowed him to be a success in all of that. And as I'm hearing this conversation, I'm wondering how many Al Hobbses are being held back today because of this push is you've got to be college and career ready before you even get out in the real world. And here was a man that God gave him that wisdom. And school didn't do that. God gave him that. Mm-hmm. And how many Al Hobbs are we losing because of all this devotion to testing and this, that, and the other, when a lot of times it's what's in your head and what's in your gut?
You know, I never even knew he didn't matriculate.
I know he had graduated high school, but I don't think he did college.
I didn't know that, and I would have never known it because of his ability to shine so much. And don't forget, along with everything else that he did, he also ran Alejo, and he was president of the Gospel Music Workshop of America.
Yes.
I just never would have thought that he hadn't. So, you know, his superiority shines because of what God gave him.
And that takes me to the next portion of the conversation. How did he entrench himself, his brand? Because he understood brand way before that was just a term we all threw around. How did he entrench himself and his brand into the gospel music industry the way he did and make it flourish from those experiences with leading the Gospel Music Workshop of America and his own record label, et cetera?
I think the people-oriented personality and his generosity opened doors. In other words, if you're in an industry where everybody has an ego and everybody thinks that their ministry or what they're doing is the best thing out there, if you come with a generous spirit and you come willing to work together with people, that opens doors all the time.
One word for me would be he's just likable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you meet Al and you just, wow, you know, what can you say about Al Hobbs that hasn't been said, whether you've known him or not, because his reputation precedes him.
And the brands, looking at branding, and reinforce himself. So here's somebody working for a radio station selling, but then he was involved in gospel music. Then he's on the air playing gospel music. Then he's doing entrepreneurial things that push and expand gospel music. Then he's got an entrepreneurial spirit. Okay, how can I extend the radio station brand in this? How can I, with Expo, create something like StarQuest? Yeah, we copied it from Star Search. But in an era where there were no videos, so mm-hmm. the artists of the day had to go out city to city and tell the community, hey, here's this. Well, it was a way of creating a brand to gather up-and-coming stars together. There were so many people that came through StarQuest over the years that are superstars today. And they probably forgot they was here.
That's because he liked big, fat, juicy fun.
Wow. And speaking of cooperative spirit, you know, his imprint is all over, you know, Indiana Black Expo, and that legacy alone should not pass with him. How do we, you know, keep that alive and speak to his relationship with Expo and the things he was able to do for them?
Kim, you done put me in this.
Be nice.
I want to be nice because if Al was standing here, he would be giving me two looks. He would be giving me the look of be nice, and then he would be giving me the look like, no.
And then that big, heavy laugh.
Yeah, that big, heavy laugh. Yeah, he just. I think Al Hobbs demonstrated what a lot of the Expo volunteers over the years dedicated, bringing all that they had to the table to help a positive cause. Mm-hmm. You know, if you, in Scripture, what is it, the parable of the talents? Mm-hmm. Where you brought all that you have to the glory of God. And Al brought all that he had to help Expo. He brought all that he had to gospel. He brought all that he had to the radio station. Like an athlete who leaves nothing on the field. Al left nothing on the field of anything he was involved in.
What, Kim, did Al Hobbs mean to you?
He was somebody in the industry that I could talk to about how things really are versus the illusion that so many folks get caught up in. And he didn't pull any punches with that. And for me, that was something that was welcoming. He was somebody that made me feel at home when so many others didn't. I am an aggressive person, and there's some things about the industry that I knew very young. And sometimes when you know what you know, people kind of slam a door in your face because they think you're being arrogant. He understood the difference between she's got a certain set of experiences that other folk don't know she has that makes her the way she is, and he was still always welcoming to that. So that just became a place of refuge in his office, or when I would see him in the community, and he would always greet me warmly because he understood those, you know, conversations that we had, and he was always very helpful. So for me, he was a mentor, and he was helpful. He was very, very helpful when I needed it. So I always loved him for that.
Good man.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, when we talk about his story and we talk about his legacy, what should people, whether they know him or not, what should they learn from it and what should they carry on?
The The simple answer would be that you can do anything you set your mind to do. That's the simple answer, but I think the reality is a little bit more complex. Al was somebody who reveled in everyone's success. He was someone that understood business not from the book learning, but from street sense and common sense. He had a good sense of what the community or the consumer would accept or not accept. And he was a human being who had strong faith, who had strong love of the Lord, who in his later life had a great sense of family. I think he always had a sense of family. But I think he had a great sense of family. And Kim, in these final weeks, I hope he was proud of his children and the job that they were doing taking care of their dad after all the years he took care of them. His daughter in particular, in these last weeks, you know, was giving me strength. And I know he's proud. I hope he realized that, because that is also a testimony of how those children who grew up with a mom and dad, then lost their mom. Now they've lost their dad. But the foundation that his devoted wife, Gabriella, and Al have put on those kids, I think is a quiet testimony to him.
I do understand. I'm going to throw a curve before we end the conversation. Al has passed away after a 3-year struggle with cancer. What should men who are listening take away from his story in dealing with their health? Because you know, Amos, I am a health advocate. Men, take care of your health. What's your message about men and their health?
He was a heavy smoker back in the day. And we all know the data, and you know the data and the research. And Al probably knew it too, but I think Al, what's the term, Jay? Devil may care. I think he had a little devil may care in him. Live life to the fullest. And when God said, it's your time, it's going to be your time. I think he kind of had that sense. You know, because common sense would have said he should have stopped smoking in the late 70s. But he didn't. And whether that is the reason or not, and that may be a contributing cause, I think it is important for health, you know, and the stress of being a black man in society, period.
Jay?
Well, you know, I didn't know of Al's illnesses until here of late. Every time I saw a picture of him, he was vibrant. Every time I saw him, he was someplace doing his thing. So I never really knew about his illness until maybe a year ago. And the last time I saw Al, I was here for an event on a New Year's Eve party, and he came to that event, looked like a picture of health. So I was out of the loop in that regard. And calling Al was very difficult for me because he had about 100 phone numbers. And you know, you could leave a message on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them, and you'd never get a call back. So it was later on that I found out that he was ill, and so, you know, obviously I forgave that. But as it relates to health, I think that the message there, or the footprint that all men should understand, is that you need to go to the doctor not just for blood pressure or diabetes or for anything else. I mean, you just need to go and get a checkup annually anyway. And I'm sure you would subscribe to that, Kim. But not just men, women too. I mean, we're all people, and we all have diseases that we can contact. And I just hope that I wouldn't want Al to necessarily be an example for that. But I think that we all need to just wake up and realize that we need to go visit a doctor and take care of ourselves. We take care of our cars.
Yes.
You know, we got to take care of ourselves. That's our vessel. That's how we get around. And without that, you know, there's just no life.
And Kim, when I talked to his daughter, when it was announced that he was going to get the award at Expo, and I knew he was not going to be present to accept the award, and I asked Asha, well, how do I explain this to the community? Because they'll see he's not there, and they're going to put two and two together and come up with 16. And she said, why are we afraid of the word cancer? And that was the first that I'd heard of what the disease was, what the ailment was. She says, why are we afraid of the word cancer? It's cancer. Let's deal with it, put it in God's hands and move on. And the statement the family put out, where they acknowledged his three-year faith, valiant faith battle with cancer, I think that's a reflection of his family, his children, and maybe a recognition of Al late in his life and career, face it head on, admit it, put it in God's hands and learn from it. And if that's another of Al's legacies as he's watching us from above and making, you know, he's with Charles Williams and James Cleveland and them, and they and making all kind of cracks. He's looking at your outfit. He's talking about your outfit here. He's looking at me saying, wait a minute, you're wearing a uniform. And you know he's making some jokes.
He's having big, juicy fun.
Yeah, he's got to keep it clean because he's in heaven now.
Yes,
absolutely. And you know, I still say he's hanging with Lynn Ford, too, because yeah, that was a click back in the day.
Yes.
Favorite Al Hobbs song? Do you have a favorite? Or something that he just
Anything did? By Yolanda Adams. He loved Yolanda Adams' music.
The one song that was that will always stick in my mind is the intro to the program, The Love Train. I think that melody, the love train will hit me up. Love train, love train.
Don't sing. Don't
James
sing.
Brown sings.
No. Just, I reminded you of the melody.
Yeah. But don't sing. Don't remind me no more.
Wow. And on that note.
I want to call him an evangelist, but he's not. He's a prophet. He's Prophet Eric Von Copeland from San Antonio. And he has no knowledge of Al, but he's heard what we were talking about since I arrived. And I just wondered, before you close, if he could maybe say something to kind of close the show out, maybe give a blessing.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Step to the mic.
Come on, my brother.
Well, thanks, Jay. I did hear several things. You know, I didn't know him personally, but you knew him because he was a heartfelt man, a man that loved life. And so I say to us that as I listen to his friends, his colleagues, that we also ought to enjoy life and know that this is it. We only go one time, and we need to do the best. But for us that are listening and reminiscing and reflecting, God knows best. God is good. And that one thing I did hear that he loved. And if you got God, you got love. And love is God. And so, again, all the gifts, all the talents is based in love.
Thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
And I think he would have appreciated it so much. Talking about a legend who has passed away from us, but has gone on to the great beyond, on to his reward to be with God. Al the Bishop Hobbs, and joining me in today's conversation here on Access Indy, legendary radio air talent and a former boss around here, Jay Johnson, and Hall of Fame broadcaster Amos Brown. Keep listening to the stations of WTLC, that's right here at 106.7, and our AM station, AM 1310, where Amos does his show from 1 till 3, and we will let you know about the arrangements and the homegoing celebrations for our dearly departed brother. Thank you so much for listening. We want you to stay tuned here on Access Indy. I'm Kim Wells for Afternoons with Amos here on AM 1310.
Rest in peace, Al.
Yes, yes.